Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. You remember last time we looked at the Jewish government, we could say, over the millennium, and how the Jews will be operating then and involved in the government there. And then we said we would look at the Gentile government tonight, and that's what we're going to cover basically tonight. So Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Loved us. Always read that, and it speaks to my heart. "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, guide us now again as we look at this millennial reign that you plan, promised to the Jews. You planned it as a time of rewarding for the church and also for the Jews. We thank you that you love us. What a great God you are. We pray that we will be faithful to serve you. Do your will. Keep you first in our lives. Ride through the storms and just keeping our focus upon you. We thank you, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pull your attention there to, in verse 5, it says, "And the prince of the kings of the earth." We know, not only from this scripture, but from others that we'll look at a little bit later, down in the lesson, but there will be kings ruling in different parts of the earth. We will be involved in that in certain ways, and we'll look at that a little bit later. But look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible is clear on this issue. It says it is a faithful saying. I like that, faithful saying. We have a faithful God. You know, sometimes people tell you they'll do something and it never gets done. But not with God. It's a faithful saying. "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." Doesn't mean that we lose our salvation. It means that we're not going to have that position of reigning. Maybe that we'll be in some other type of service for the Lord and not in a position of reigning with him. And so we notice here that there will be kings ruling in different parts of the earth. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, quite clear here. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Power over the nations. We notice from Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, which we read earlier in these lessons, but it says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." That's the ones that go at the rapture and here at the end of the tribulation period. "And blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So it makes it clear that the church saints will be given power over the nations and also these tribulation saints will be treated specifically, as we'll see in a moment. But before we move there, let's look at chapter 5 and then look at some other places here too. Chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. This is when we're in heaven. The rapture has taken place. There in chapter 4, verse 1. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth, coming up there with the millennial reign of Christ. I think about these in Revelation chapter 20, who there they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. You know, some of us are ashamed of the Word of God. We're so ashamed that we won't give out a gospel tract. We don't want to be thought of as that kind of a person. But I think in this time that we have, we don't have to worry about being beheaded. We don't have to worry about being imprisoned or losing our life for the Word of God. But we are so lax about sharing it. It ought to speak to our hearts. These people, under the threat of death, they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the Word of God. Well, that brings up some things about them, as we'll see a little bit later on in the lesson. We're moving down to that. But before we do that, there's a question. We know that the church saints will be given power over the nations. He was speaking to the seven churches there in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. So, but there's Jewish believers in the church age. There are a lot of Jews who are members of New Testament Baptist churches. And so, how's that going to work out? We talked about the Jewish government, the Jews will be involved in last week, and then now we're looking at the Gentile government. Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and just look at something here. And I'll give you my take on it. Your take might be a little different. Some of these things we'll find out when we get to heaven, for sure. But Galatians chapter 3, beginning there in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law teaches us, Romans 3, 19 and 20, that we're all sinners. In 23, verse 23 of Romans 3. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We're not keeping the law to be saved. The law teaches us what sin is. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Greeks are Gentiles. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then ye are Abraham, are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, is this saying then that Gentiles and Jews that are saved in the church age will just be involved in that part, or will God separate the Jews and the Gentiles? I believe this passage is teaching that it doesn't matter who you are, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you're saved. I believe that's the teaching of this pastor. Passage, and we are heirs according to the promise. Well, what was the promise? The promise was that to Abraham, the covenant, Abrahamic covenant, first of all, was that God would make him a great nation. And through that nation, the Messiah would come. The he would bless all the earth through that covenant he made with Abraham. Through Abraham, all the earth would be blessed through his seed. And, of course, we know that through his seed, Jesus came. So when it says here that then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise, we all received the Savior through that line. And so that passage is only teaching that whatever, whoever you are, Jew, Gentile, bond free, male, female, you can be saved if you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the Gentiles will be a part of the Gentile government, and Jews that were saved in the church period will be part of the Jewish government. There isn't any scripture to say that that won't be that way. There's more scripture to say that it will be that way in the millennial reign. The Jews will be a part of that. The Gentiles be a part of the Gentile side of it, ruling and reigning with Christ in the ways that he puts us in that those positions. We know that according to Romans chapter 14 that there is coming that day. In Romans chapter 14, it's very clear. We're living in a day when many pastors, I know of one pastor I read about, that young pastor, he was really concerned about the contemporary movement. He was concerned about preaching standards and preaching like this Romans chapter 14 there. It says in verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And I read about this pastor on David Cloud's email he sends out, and said the young pastor was trying to preach the word and preach against sin and preach separation and preach the Bible just like it is. But he called up several of his pastors. I think it was around 9 or 10 pastors he called and asked them their advice on it. These were all independent Baptist preachers, and they all told him that he needed to just soften it down and go along with the contemporary movement and just let things move that way, because if you don't, you're going to lose the young people. Well, you know, that isn't what we are called to do. We are called to preach the word. And if the word knocks your socks off, then put them back on and get doing right. You know, stay with the word of God. And so that drives people away. Well, if it drives people away, then they weren't going to be a blessing to the church if they stayed. That's just a matter of fact. Because we have to stay with the word of God. And there is coming a time, as it says in verse 12, so then every one of us, not certain ones, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. If God said it, that settles it. There isn't any argument about the issue. And as I preached Sunday morning, yes, you have to compare Scripture with Scripture, spiritual things with spiritual things. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. He makes it clear. And if we just compare Scripture with Scripture, and the Bible does teach separation. The Bible does teach dress standards. The Bible does teach how we are to act out in the community. The Bible does give us commandments to be witnesses for Christ. And we will all give an account of that. I'm not going to give an account of what the preacher preached. We're going to give an account of what the Bible says. And the preacher can soften it up and slide over it and make us feel good. That doesn't get us away from accounting, and that doesn't get the preacher away from accounting either. We are committed to stay with the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. what we're lacking in many of our independent Baptist churches is preachers with guts. They become cowards, afraid to preach. Well, if I do that, I'll lose people. I'm not in the business of trying to keep or run people off. I'm in the business to preach the Word of God. That's the job I have to do. To the best of my ability, to try to interpret it as God said it, comparing Scripture with Scripture, and study to show thyself approved unto God and a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided. Did you catch that? A workman? That's what we preachers are. We're workmen for the Lord. And we have a command to preach the Word, not soften it, not make it so that people feel good. No. Give them the Word so that they will be able to see what they need to do, and then they will feel good, have peace. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Notice that, a wise master builder. Some of us aren't wise the way we build our lives. We will let the things of this world hinder a lot of our building. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, that's pretty good. Wood, hay, stubble, well, that's not so good. Every man's work. Notice these words. Work. Every man's work. Let that four-letter word sink into our heart. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day, that's the judgment seat of Christ, we read about there in Romans 10, we'll read about over in 2 Corinthians. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Put these six categories that he gives us here to fire. The gold, silver, precious stones survives. Wood, hay, stubble, whoo, quickly burns up. Wood a little bit, not so quick. Hay fast, stubble really fast. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, don't let that little word slip out of your mind, reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of salvation? No. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so notice here that if he'll suffer loss. Loss of what? Context. Reward. He's going to lose his reward. And that's what 2 John tells us, to look to ourselves that we lose not those things that we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Look in chapter 4 and verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light hidden things of darkness. Hidden things of darkness. You know, you get alone on that internet, you're not alone. Remember that as a believer, you're never alone. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, you pick up that magazine, you're not alone. Think, I'm the only one that's looking and reading this. No, you're not. You're never alone. He'll bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall, notice, every man have praise of God. Yeah, how will we stand at that time? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise God, we do have 1 John 1, 9. It's old flesh. We fail. We often fail. But in a true heart of repentance, we can go to the Lord and we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're never going to be perfect until we get our glorified body, until this corrupt body puts on incorruption. And that'll happen when the Lord comes. We'll get our new body. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 through 11, brings out about the judgment seat of Christ. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Remember what we were taught there in Ephesians chapter 6 about the Christian armor. Remember something that is said there in the Christian armor? Above all. Above all, take the shield of faith. One of the things that makes real warriors for Christ is our faith. We're willing to trust God no matter what comes. We trust Him. We have faith to believe that He'll do what He said He'll do and that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His word. Did I get that right? I better go back and quote it again, then I'll get it right. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. I had to go through to say it again. So we notice here that we walk by faith, not by sight. A lot of believers walk by sight. They see something that just doesn't go the way they want it to go, and they get upset. You can't be victorious that way. Got to have faith. Trust God. He is in control. He'll walk us through. He can still the storms of life. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, absent means that we may be accepted of Him. For whether present or absent, body and to be present with the Lord, to me, present means to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Present or absent, we're going to stand before the Lord. We may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear. Well, I think I'll hide out somewhere up there. You're not going to hide out somewhere. It isn't going to happen. Must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, see how clear the Bible is on this, may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, what's the receiving? Well, rewards. You follow Scripture with Scripture. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. You know, when you're preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, you kind of feel like you're preaching to the choir. Because you look at Sunday morning, you look at Sunday night, and then you look at Wednesday night, and you have the faithful. So you feel like you're preaching to the choir, but we all need to be challenged. We all need to be reminded. We all need to be encouraged to stay on course because it's so easy to get off. It's so easy to get off course. Our positions of power, or we could say where we're going to serve, our positions of power will be determined at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I had you try to put some words in your memory bank. If you're like me, they don't stay in there long, but I tried to get you to see them. Revelation 22, verse 12, here's Jesus speaking when he comes back. He says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward, there it is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. There's those words we saw in the speaking of the judgment seat of Christ. And so he will come back and he will reward us by giving us places to serve in the millennial reign of Christ based upon our faithfulness here. And if you study the parables, somebody says, well, Pastor, look at you. You've been in the ministry around 50 years, and surely you will have a real high position. Well, if you study the parables, anyone who comes in right at the last, if they'll just be faithful, will be rewarded just as much as someone like myself who's served for years and years. God is fair and just. If the Lord comes and you've just been saved a brief time, but you've been faithful, you didn't have the 50 years to serve, but you did what you had. So you'll be rewarded just like the one who served for 50 years. God is a faithful judge. So the key is follow the word. Try to do our best to follow the word. Well, we got to move on here to Revelation chapter 7. I hope if I knock somebody's socks off, they'll get them back on and determine to keep on walking for the Lord. Revelation chapter 7. In chapter 7, we read about these martyrs that were beheaded for Christ in the tribulation period. And it says in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Any one of those things we try to push more on ourselves takes away from him. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Seems to be a reference to the last half. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's when you had to take the mark to survive. They wouldn't do it. They witnessed for the Lord, and they stood for the word of God. Have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These martyrs of the tribulation will be servants of the Lord himself around his throne. They will be right there around the throne of God in the millennial reign of Christ. Psalm 72. Back here in Psalm 72, verses 10 and 11, gives us something concerning these kings I mentioned earlier. It says, the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And so we notice here that it appears there will be Gentile kings. These will be kings that don't have glorified bodies. They have been appointed and put to these positions in the millennial reign. But they will be ruling under the authority of the church saints. Let's look at these other scriptures in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49. As I study the Bible, I always come to this conclusion: the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I cannot say that I've had a wonderful life. I've had a lot of trials, and so have all of you. But it's really been a good life, knowing the Lord and trying to serve the Lord. And it's enjoyable at times. There's things in this life that are enjoyable, but the best is yet to come. And so we notice here in Isaiah 49, verse 22, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me." In chapter 60 and verse 11, chapter 60, verse 11, "Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought." So it appears that there will be Gentile kings that will be ruling under the authority of the church saints, the Gentile believers that were raptured out. Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. And these other scriptures that we probably won't have time to look at all of them. Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. We know from Revelation chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, that Jerusalem will be destroyed. Jerusalem is destroyed in the tribulation period. As it says there in the notes, Jerusalem is destroyed. There's a great earthquake, such as was not since the beginning of the earth and never will be. And the city is all divided. It's destroyed in the tribulation period. But we notice in the millennium, chapter 40, as Ezekiel is beginning to talk in these verses that describe the time of the millennial reign of Christ, in Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 1 through 5, "In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel, and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about, and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by the cubit and a handbreadth. So he measured the breadth of the building, 1 reed, and the height of 1 reed." And if you go on in these chapters, finishing chapters of Ezekiel, you find that the temple is going to be rebuilt in the city of Jerusalem, and the temple in the millennium. Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 48, 1 and 2. "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king." Of course, Mount Zion there is in Jerusalem. Jeremiah 3:17, And we can come back to Jeremiah in a little bit. Chapter 3 and verse 17. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, the name of the Lord to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. So Jerusalem will be rebuilt, and it'll be the center of all government over the earth. We have Psalm 122, the whole psalm brings that out. Isaiah 60, 10 and 11. Ezekiel 48, 30 to 34. Zechariah 2, 1 through 5. And let's go over to Zechariah because that's a very clear passage there. Next to the last book in the Bible, Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. That's to be millennial. And then we go to chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Just look at this right quick. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, and the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. So Jerusalem will become kind of like our Washington, D.C. here in America. It'll be the center, the government place of the earth during the millennium. In Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, this passage gives us an indication of what's going to be the name of Jerusalem. Doesn't tell us what the name is, but we compare Scripture with Scripture. And in Isaiah chapter 60, 1 and 2, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And let's see, I got the wrong scripture there that I wanted. Make sure I've turned to the right place. Well, anyhow, the scripture that I wanted, I don't know why I had 61 and 2, but anyhow, the scripture that I wanted says that he will give Jerusalem a new name. And I think, yeah, it's chapter 62. I had 60 in the notes, but it's 62, 1 and 2. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And so we notice that Jerusalem will be given a new name. What is the new name? Well, the new name is told us in Ezekiel 48 and verse 35. Ezekiel 48, 35. Last verse in the book of Ezekiel. And it says there's round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There. The Lord is There. Lord with all capitals. The Lord is There. Ezekiel 40 to 48, these chapters, they tell us about, they reveal that the temple will be rebuilt. Very clearly, you can go back and read chapter 43, 1 through 7, verse 10 and 12, and just go through chapter 40 to 48, and you'll see that the temple is going to be rebuilt. In Ezekiel 46, we'll go over there to Ezekiel 46 and look at verse 12 there. 46 verse 12 says, Now when the prince shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering or peace offerings voluntarily unto the Lord, one shall then open him the gate that looketh toward the east, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings as he did on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go forth, and after his going forth, one shall shut the gate. Thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering unto the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. Daily, that's what it said there, thou shalt daily. Thou shalt prepare it every morning, and thou shalt prepare a meat offering for it every morning, the sixth part of an ephah and a third part of a hin and oil, to temper with fine flour, a meat offering continually by a perpetual ordinance. Thus shalt thou prepare the lamb and the meat offering, the oil, every morning for a continual burnt offering. So the Bible reveals that animal sacrifices will be required to be done by the Jews. From chapter 44, verse 1 to chapter 46, verse 24, describes the priesthood and its sacrificial system. Is it the same priesthood as the Aaronic priesthood? Well, you'll have to come next week to get that answer. It's easy to see why in Jeremiah 3:16 the Bible says that there will the Ark of the Covenant, there is no Ark of the Covenant. Why? Well, that's easy to see because Jesus is present. The ark signified the presence of the Lord, the mercy seat. And Jesus is our mercy seat. So it's easy to see why the Ark of the Covenant is not there. But why the sacrifices? Why are they going to be doing blood sacrifices when Jesus' blood paid the price for our sin? Why? Why would the Jews be doing the sacrifices again? The priesthood will be there. You'll even find out next week who God has designated to be the priest and the seed of the priest to work the tabernacle, to work the temple in the millennium. Why? I thought it was all finished. Well, think on it. And next week we will cover the scripture and show you why the sacrifices will be there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these few moments to look at the millennial reign of Christ and to understand these things. And as we study it, we see, wow, what a time it's going to be. What an opportunity that we will have to serve you in those 1,000 years and not have to put up with all these infirmities of the flesh, but we can serve you and we can see you in person and know our God in a way that we try to know you now in our prayer time and our walk with you, but then it will be face to face. What a day that's going to be. That'll happen when the rapture takes place, yes, we know, but to be able to be back here on the earth with you, ruling and reigning. Just gives you goosebumps to think about it, Father. We look forward to it. Thank you for your great blessings to us. You loved us, washed us from our sins in your own blood. Thank you. We love you. Work on our hearts to be more faithful in serving you. We thank you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.